We thank the Lord for our blessings during this time. There's a lot of good things that are happening, but a lot of things that we have to be made aware of too. Many great things that are going on spiritually, and many things that are going on right here in our physical world, which many of you know, doesn't have to be repeated. But through it all, there has to be a trust in God. There has to be an understanding that God's going to carry us through. And I'm going to say it this way, whether we live or die, our spirit is what God is concerned with. This is Kenny, that's Terry, that's John, that's whoever. That's how we're known here. Our parents even named us that. But the spirit inside of you is what God has known from the beginning. He's known everything about you. That spirit has thought. Every thought that that spirit had, God was made aware of it. He knows of it from the beginning. His conversation with us from the beginning is what's being brought into remembrance now. God spoke with us much when we're in our spirit. He spoke to your spirit. You may not know it now because progressively we're learning the remembrance again, aren't we? Of the conversation that we had with God from the beginning. The revelation of understanding that we're all in prophecy, that everything that we do really, because God had foreknowledge, has been foreordained. He knows everything that we're going to do. He even knows when we have setbacks and then whether we're going to go forward again. When we take a step back and then we go forward, or whether we fall to something, then we get up again. What does it say about that just man falls seven times, he gets up? So God knows all that. He knows the end of everything because Jesus Christ is the beginning and the end. I start thinking about the things that God has done for us and how he's put us where he's put us now. We are going to be a witness even in this physical realm to the things of God. We spoke about this recently. The man of God, and when I say the man of God, I mean the man, the woman, the daughter of God. It's all humankind, if you want to look at it that way. We're here in human bodies right now. But the thing that God is concerned about, of course, is that where we think terrestrially in our world, to pull us out of the terrestrial and put us into the celestial, right? But some things do manifest here. So what happens is if we're following God, there's a certain way that we're going to be peculiar here. Not that we're trying to be peculiar, but we will be peculiar. Here's the thing that Christianity does. They try to put a statute or a standard out where they try to make themselves peculiar. I don't do this. I don't do that. I do this. I do that. Whatever. So, but that's not what God wants. What happens is as he works through your spirit and even the manifestation in the physical realm, what God is doing is showing you that in all phases of your life, whether it's celestial, because that's in us too, whether it's terrestrial, whether it's the physical, he is in charge and we live for him and we love him enough to be like him. So there are going to be changes that people will notice even in the physical realm. So remember I told you the man and the woman of God is not going to be known as an extortioner or a drunkard or an adulterer or a fornicator or, you see what I'm saying, a liar, whatever. They're going to be known here as peculiar people because we are not in the same realm in thought as others that do not understand this. The conscious levels will be different. So I'm saying things that we all know, but we need to come to an understanding that I mentioned Wednesday night. God is proving us. And the question that you have to ask yourself, are you being proven faithful in the things of God? Now, God proved Israel, didn't he? And, you know, he took them out until the... You go back, it's very... very interesting, the name of the wilderness that they were in. There's two different names that they use for it. I don't know if we have a thing here. Two different names. Oh, here it is. Two different names for it. But you go back and look it up, and it's kind of interesting to know that one time it's just written because of a different language, but that's the wilderness they were in. Very important to understand that. When they went out, that's the wilderness they went into. So, we're not going to be, what's the word I want to use? We're not going to be protected from temptation. We're not going to be taken out of the world. What did it say in the 17th chapter of St. John? He said, Lord, he's not taking us out of the world, but you're going to keep us while we're in it. The thing we need to understand, guys, if we're going to be proven by God as to whether or not we're going to be the people that he's calling on, then we have to face all of those things that are going to come against us. And those things are spiritual, are they not? So what happens is when these things come against us, we have to learn to face them without fear. That's what usually grips most of us, is some type of fear or condemnation or guilt or whatever it may be. But something, even sometimes an offense, because the thing is happening to us. You know, we don't like it. When we don't like something, we usually rebel against it. There's going to be some sedition that's going to happen. You know, it's going to be a civil war in us, so to speak, a war between the things of God and the things of what we're facing, the wicked. So is God going to judge the wicked? Yes, he is. He's going to judge the wicked in you. Yes, because that's where it's at. It's in your world. So he's going to judge that, right? So in order to judge it and for us to understand it, does it have to come against us in some way? So those things that we get tempted with, that's why God does not remove temptation, okay? We're going to be tempted. But he said, count it all joy when you're tempted. You know why? Because the opportunity to overcome that particular thing, we'll just say the man of sin, we'll encompass it in that. The opportunity to overcome that, to confront it, understand it, and take it down from being something that has authority in us. In other words, we have authority over it. I told you not too long ago, we have to start thinking in terms that Satan has to be humbled in us. Remember the term that I use? How is he going to be humbled in us? There's only one way: if we follow the righteousness of God. If we do the things that God has told us to do, if we exercise the faith, we're going to humble him. Everything he tries, we're going to come against. We're going to face that thing, get the understanding of it. God, through his Spirit, is going to cause us to be strengthened in it. You know the power and might of God? When we talk about God being mighty and powerful, do you know where our power comes from? It comes from the wisdom and understanding of God. As we get the wisdom and understanding of God, we have power over things that don't have the wisdom and understanding of God. And that includes those spirits, those many voices that we hear. So, in order to prove us, we have to be made a certain way. We have to be, what did Dan say, recreated almost. We have to recreate things that in our fall, we came to know nothing. Now we have to recreate it, don't we? And get back to the conversation of God. Well, part of that recreation is the remembrance that God brings. What brings a lot of that remembrance? Doesn't it say the Holy Spirit does that? It will comfort, it'll bring everything to your remembrance. God is always here to help us. There's not a time that God abandons us. We abandon God. God is always going to be walking with us. He said, I never leave you alone. I will never leave you comfortless. He is not a liar. So if he's not going to leave us alone and not leave us comfortless, that means he's always there. So where does the withdrawal take place? In us. We withdraw because of certain things that happen within our thought. We were just talking earlier, Ernest and I and Jacob, how powerful a thought is. What if the God of creation tells you that your sins are forgiven and that he's going to bring you to a place where you return to him? He's going to make you an apostle and put you into a sin. And you say to yourself, I don't believe that. But in some cases, we don't. We don't have confidence that our ultimate goal is to be the apostle, to be the angel, to be the Christ. for every one of us, okay? That's the thing that's important. Let me read something to you. So we are going to be proven. I'm continuing something in this proving thing here. And in the proving, there's going to be, the only way I can put it, is going to be a battle for a while. You understand? To be proven. Anything that's proven is going to be, there's a battle that's going to take place in it. You think about what David had to do with Goliath. Remember, I went through that Wednesday night. Saul, now, here's the thing you got to think about this. When they were choosing David out, remember all the sons of Jesse that were standing there, and he went there, man, they were big, strong guys and whatever. But he had one little runt that was out there, you know, watching the sheep. Said he was a ruddy youth. He was small compared to other men. But one thing it did say about him, too, and I have to throw this in, it said he was very handsome, very pleasant to look upon, David was. He was a handsome man, but he wasn't a big guy. So the thing is, when Saul gave him his armor, remember, Saul was chosen because he was head and shoulders above everybody else. You go read the story of Saul, he's a big guy. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. And that's kind of, they did that, God did that, because that's what the people wanted. They wanted a king that they could see, and they put their expectation of what they wanted that king to be. So God gave it to him. Gave him a guy that was big and tall, you know, whatever. And the people, you know, kind of, they yielded to him, so to speak, because of what he was. That's what they thought they needed. It's almost like people thinking Samson had to be muscle-bound. He wasn't, guys. Samson was like any one of us. Could have been Terry, could have been Jacob, any one of us. Because when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, that's where he got his strength. So he didn't have natural strength to be muscle-bound. I know how the world shows him, but in God, it was because of the Spirit of God that was in him that caused him to accomplish much. So you think of David being a small guy. Saul's armor couldn't even, and David said, I haven't proved this armor. That's not what I use, okay? So he decided within himself, and I think there was a leading of God there, go back to what you know. And the thing is, with what he knew, he had slain a lion and a bear. And he says, and how much more this uncircumcised Philistine? I'll do the same to him. He had confidence in God because God had already prepared him. Had God proven him? Think about it. Who do you think sent the lion and the bear? God proved him to see what he was going to do. Remember, David was a shepherd boy. He had the sheep in the sheep coat. The sheep coat is the place where all the sheep were gathered together, you know, and these things came to take these things. There's stories about the bear and the lion having the sheep actually in the mouth and David coming pulling it out and then slaying them. You're not taking them. That's how God is about us. Are we his sheep? Are we the sheep of his pasture? You know, when you talk about the lion, he's the devourer. He's the liar. He's the Satan that comes after the devil as a roaring lion, right? The bear, I don't know how many of you know that, is an oppressor. That's what he's called in the Bible. He's an oppressor. So is God saving us from oppression and from the liar that desires to devour us? That's what it is. And David slew those things, man, in the Spirit of God. Okay? This is very powerful to understand this. So he goes up against Goliath. He uses what's been proven in him. He uses the sling and the stone, right? You think about that. And what does he have to do to that giant? He takes his own sword and cuts his head off. That's a powerful thought. His own sword, his own word, and cuts it off. Cuts his head off and presents the head back to Saul. This is an amazing thing, guys. This is what we have to do with those giants that are in our life. What do they call them? Is it the Anakins? The Anak? Anak is the strong giant. And Israel had to go up against Anak. And they slew them because God gave them the understanding on how to do it. I may even have to read that. There's something in that. Anak was known as a huge race of people, big, strong. I'm trying to remember where that's at. Maybe someone can look that up for me. A-N-A-K is Anak. I'm trying to remember where that's at. Anyway, let me tell you what God tells them. He tells Israel, I'm going to give you power against Anak. This is God proving again. I'm going to give you power against Anak, but I'm not giving you power because you were righteous, is what he says. I'm not giving you that power because you were righteous and you were so good or anything like that. I'm giving you power against Anak because Anak is wicked. So I'm going to judge them because they're wicked. You're going to think in your mind that I'm doing it for you because you're supposed to be so righteous and we're my people. You're my people. But at the very end, of when he gives an explanation, he says, but I understand you and I know you're a stiff-necked people. God says that. And yet he's going to give them the victory over Anak to prove himself, like he said he was going to do. And you know what? They fought against Anak and they defeated them. Huge men, huge amount of strength. But somehow Israel defeats them. Well, we know that somehow is God, right? But he said, I didn't do it because you were righteous. I didn't do it. He said, you're stiff-necked. I'm doing it because I'm judging them as being evil anyway. And in the course of all of these things, my will is being performed. You're going to defeat Anak. You're going to take over the land, so forth, whatever. But I want you to understand who's doing it. I'm proving myself to you. Now, here's the thing. God could turn and actually say, you did not prove yourself to me. When Israel came out of Egypt and so forth, what did they do? They complained and they murmured and they did all of these things. Did not believe God, worshiped other gods, made a golden calf, did the whole deal. God was proving them to see if they would follow him. The things he did for them, the mighty works he did, it made no difference to them because Israel still did not believe. You think about this. They opening up the Red Sea, man, having the Egyptians, you know, drowned in it and whatever. The enemy defeated. Pillar of fire by night. Pillar of cloud during the day to lead them. Guiding them. Meeting their needs. Raining bread from heaven. Bringing up quail out of the sea. Think about what God did. And in it all, they still did not believe God. And you say within yourself, what does it take to believe God? But they did not, did they? Now, when we talk about Israel as a whole, we're talking about generally the people in there. God always had some righteous ones in there. He had a Moses, he had a Joshua, he had a Caleb. You know, the ones you read about them, great men of God. And so they believed God. They believed God. And because of that, I think because of having that remnant in there, that's why God continued to deal with them, because he knew from the generations of that remnant, there are going to be generations of those that would believe. This is very powerful. This is the seed line of Christ. This is what we talk about. Guys, do you realize you're part of that seed line? You would not be here if you weren't. This is where faith goes in among us. You know, and we believe God and we trust God. Should we be proven to be the people of God? Yes. Now let me take you to something here. I think it's, this is good. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Just listen to me for a while here. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. If he's charging them, what is this? Is that part of that proving? This is a thing I'm giving you. I'm charging you to remember these things. This is the things that you have to remember and put forth and do, perform the works of God. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things. Be aware, in other words, right? Watch in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Make full what? Proof of thy ministry. Now, people say, this is writing to elders and apostles and something within the church. What is your destiny? You need to take a hold of these things, okay? Who's the evangelist in your world? Isn't it you delivering that word of God to all the different nations and kingdoms and stuff in your world? Who do you think that is? What part of the fivefold ministry is he telling you to perform? The work of an evangelist. And the evangelist will also teach. And if he has to, he'll also pastor. If he has to give prophecy, he'll do that. Everything that's needed at the time that it's needed, God will work through that individual because they're following and they're being proven in the things of God. God, there used to be a song we used to sing, God, you can depend on me. And man, they used to start shouting on that song. You know, you can depend on me. And that's, but could they? Could God depend on them? No way. They can sing it, declare it, but God could not depend on them. Yeah, Lord, you can depend on me. Really? If you're going to make a declaration, if you're going to sing something about God, you better put yourself forward to say, yes, this is what I'm going to do. You see where I'm going with this? So he says, make full proof of thy ministry. So look at some of the things he says. There's going to be times that lusts are going to come. There's going to be teachings and things that are going to come, and itching ears will want to receive that, right? It's telling you all those things, the lust. And the teachers that are teaching have itching ears and bring those things to you. Are these spirits, thoughts in your mind that'll do that? So you have to prove yourself in a way that when these things come, that you stand up against them, God will bring you the wisdom and the understanding of it. You overcome it, and you're not going to be seduced by false doctrine. See how this works? Very important. So let me take you to another one. Okay, here it is. Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, can that happen to any one of us? Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So somebody falls, they have a fault, there's a sin they enter into, whatever it is, it could happen to you too. Isn't it saying that? That could happen to you too. So what sort of mindset should you have in helping this person? Your mindset should be, this could happen to me too. I need to help them to overcome, because that's going to help me so that I won't fall to the same fault. You see what I mean? You put yourself out there. You give counsel. You do whatever you need to help them. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Not that you're above them. Not that you're exalted, that you know more, whatever. But you're meek. You're humble. You're doing it because you realize it could happen to you too. So you're drawing alongside this brother or sister because you understand that this is common to both of you. So you want to help in the spirit of meekness and humbleness, knowing that you could fall to the same thing. Okay. Bear you one another's burdens. Wow. We have to really think. That's part of your proving, guys. Do we actually bear one another's burdens sometimes? And the things that we know all of us struggle at different times. Are we bearing the burdens? I hear Ernest say, if you guys have a need or if you need to talk or something, give me a call. I've said that too. If you need something, give me a call. The reason I like to point out the deacon is doing it, because that's who the elder's going to be, if he's already telling you that. You see what I mean? So those are the things that are very important for us to do. If there's counsel that's needed, we have a whole group of elders that can help you. And they're willing to help you, okay, during those times. But when we get proud and self-righteous in thinking, oh, I can handle that. But in a lot of cases, I'm going to tell you right now, you can't. You think you know the ins and outs of it, and I'm going to tell you now, you don't. You need to go to somebody that's a guide, that has been through it and overcome it already and is already in that place of apostleship. And they can guide you because they've followed the same path and they've gone through it and they've made it to where God wanted them to be. It's as simple as that. So that's what the elders and the apostles are for. Bear you one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. He bore all of our burdens, didn't he? On the cross, all of them. So you're fulfilling that same thing that he did. What is your ultimate goal anyway? If you become an apostle, are you not a Christ? Are you not an angel? You see where we're going with this? That's the ultimate goal. If Christ bore the burdens, guess what? We're going to do it, aren't we? and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now listen to this next part. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. That's when we think we got it. Let's remain humble and then let God show us that we have it. That's the difference, right? Remember, it says if a man think, if he thinks within himself, he has it. But why not let God show you you have it? There's a big difference between the two. Isn't that true? Sometimes we think we're it, man. And God has to tell us, well, no, you're not it. I need to come and show you how to be it. But this is what we need to do to humble ourselves. Allow God to guide us and counsel us into the truth. Okay? For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work. Here we go with that proving again. Let every man prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. It'll be you that God has worked with, and you've done your own work. And then you're not pulling from somebody else. You're not taking Rick's. You're not taking Dan's. You've accomplished what God wants you to accomplish, your own work. You see how this works? Can they guide you and help you? Of course. But you have your own work you must do, right? How does it put it in the scriptures? There's going to be gold, silver, and precious jewels, right? Wood, hay, and stubble. And every man's work is going to be tried by fire. Didn't it just say the works? You have to allow God to do that. Whatever's wood, hay, and stubble, God will burn up. That word, the fire, will burn it up. But what's gold and silver and precious jewels, will it refine it and make it better? Yes. Every man's work is going to be tried by fire. Being baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Will he burn up those things that are not like him? That's what you have. And is that, there's going to be a travail in that because we're comfortable with some of those things that are not like him. He's going to have to burn that out of us. And burning for a time is not pleasant, is it? Every man's work is going to be tried by fire. What if you work very hard at something and God comes along and burns it up? He said, that's not me. Will you be disappointed, you think, a little bit? Do you think maybe some of your comfort is like, well, God, I thought I was serving you. I'm showing you. I'm proving you right now. I'm allow that work to be burned up, and then it says the man himself can still be saved. You see how wise God is? You go back and read that scripture. That's what it says. So if the wood, hay, and stubble get burned up, you yourself can still be saved because God's taken that crap out of your way so you can have the gold, the silver, and the precious jewels. He's trying to make you into that. Every man's work is going to be tried by fire. So there's going to be a proving in every one of us. So there are things, is God stirring the pot here, you think a little bit? You think some of the waters are being troubled? Why are they being troubled? So this thing that you have that needs to be healed can be healed. Remember, the healing is not of the physical body. The healing is for the soul, the unregenerated soul, to start bringing things into it to regenerate it so it can become a one again and become spirit in God. That's what God is doing. Every aspect of it. What is he doing? He's regenerating. Isn't that true? So this is what we want. So allow him to burn up the wood, hay, and stubble. I don't care how hard you worked on it. Let him burn it up so he can take you to the right area and say, I want you to be a jewel. I want you to be gold and silver, which is what? Wisdom and understanding again, isn't it? The precious jewels are what? Are they not the apostles? The workers that have come into the church to edify the church, aren't those the Lord's jewels? Yes. That's what he wants to promote. That's what God's trying to get at. He wants to make you a jewel. He wants you to be gold and silver, wisdom and understanding within the body of Christ. So he has to prove you. So the fire is going to come to prove you. So when the fire comes, guess what? Allow him to burn the stuff up that needs to be burned up. Let's bring it forth. Let's bring this thing forth the man of sin keeps bringing up to you. Let's bring forth that weakness. Let it be burned up and let God show you through the wisdom and understanding how it should be. Let him guide you in that. This is your proving. See how it works? And how does it really work? Doesn't it work through the transforming of the mind? Doesn't it say that? Where's that at? That Romans 12? Let's go to that. Listen to this. This is a begging, guys. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Think about this. What is Paul saying? I'm begging you. Listen to me right now. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And he takes you back to how this is going to happen. God is merciful and loving. Loving kindness, tender mercy, right? Through the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is not the body he's talking about. He's talking about the body God has given you in him, the spiritual body. By the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said it's reasonable, huh? Holy and acceptable. So do we have to become holy? The things that we do, they need to be acceptable to God? Not to self, to God. So would God be able to accept it? Oh, Cain, I wanted a certain thing, and you wanted me to accept anything you gave me. Nuh-uh. It has to be acceptable unto God. Every time we try to offer God what we have put forth, we're doing a Cain again. You don't want to do that. What you want to do is bring God what he asked for. Blood, right? Life. He wants you to give him your life. Remember he said living sacrifice? That's what God always wanted, was your life. He wants you. That's what he wants. Life is in the blood. He wants your life. That's what he wants you to offer him. Living sacrifice. See? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And here we go again. That ye may prove. Oh, there's that word again. That ye may prove. Wow. What? What are you going to prove? What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Acceptable to God again, right? Acceptable to his will. What he wants, not what you want. See, this is what has to be burned up. Our own works have to be burned up. What we do on our own. Thinking that we're pleasing God. No, that wood, hay, and stubble is going to be burned up. But you yourself can yet be saved because God is going to try and show you what's going to bring forth the gold and the silver and the jewels. It's going to be the wisdom and understanding of God. What he's telling you is don't go by your own knowledge. Go by what I give you in understanding, and you will become what I want you to become. Your mind will be changed. Isn't that where it takes place? All of this wisdom and understanding and everything is a changing of the mind. You're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. In that, you are being proved because you are obedient to it. You follow it. You're guided by it. And you're not rebelling and going back into your own thought or your own flesh. That's what it is. Are you overcoming the man of sin every time you do that? Every time that you do what God tells you to do, you are humbling him even more. You're humbling Satan. Soon he will be under your feet, is what the scripture says. You will have authority over him. Is this the man? Isn't that what it says in Isaiah? That you're going to look at him and say, is this the one that got? No, because you will have learned from God that you have power over that and that you've always had power over it. That's the thing that's funny to us. We say, we don't think we have the power. You've always had the power. The person of Christ in you that's growing has always been stronger than that adversary. Always. What is one of your favorite scriptures? He's under tutors and governors till he learns how to use it, right? But isn't he owner of it all? Doesn't he have it all? You've always had the power. You just have to learn how to use it. Isn't that what it is? You've always had it. You were born with it. You were born in God. You were ordained of God to be who you are right now. Sons and daughters of God. So we got to start acting like our Father. We got to start acting like we know who our Father is. My daddy is Jesus. And you can't come again. My Father told me that I have power over all unclean spirits. I think it's 10th chapter of Matthew, or is it John? One of them. And he says, I have given you power over all unclean spirits. Well, when you sweep everything out and you think you're all clean, if you don't put the right thing back in, guess what comes back? Seven more. Gee, isn't that seven always working? The seven churches, I have somewhat against you. The seven abominations I had, you know, they can be in everything. Isn't that what Israel did? Isn't that what God's talking about, those seven abominations? The seven heads of that dragon, are they not those abominations? Did he not put them in the churches to cause us a problem? Yeah, this is all part of it, isn't it? But then I read about there's the seven spirits of God. Now that works better, doesn't it? This is what God is talking to us about. These spirits of God are stronger than those spirits that you have so much fear about and yield to and whatever. God is telling you the power that I have given you through wisdom and understanding is greater than all those spirits can bring against you. Because my words are spirit and they are life. And you have to believe that. When you don't believe it is when there's a problem. So what am I still talking about today? Am I still talking about proving? We still have to prove these things. God is proving us right now, just like he did Israel. We said, well, if we were back in that day, we wouldn't have fallen like Israel was. No, you would have been the chief one doing it. I tell you that. You know why? Because he's proving us now, and look what we're doing. God is proving us right now, just like he did Israel when he brought them out. Has he brought us out of sin? Yes. Has he revealed the old man to us? Yes, he has. Has he given us power through wisdom and understanding of his word? Does he have the Holy Ghost for us? So we have those things right now. So you're talking about how you would have done better being Israel. Well, we don't have to worry about Israel anymore. They're the unbeliever. They entered not in because of unbelief. But because of us believing now and being under grace and truth, allow the grace of God to work and you will overcome all things. This is our proving right now. We're entering into our promised land. So you need to be proved. God's proving you now. Are there things coming against you? For sure, aren't they? You know your mind. You know what your mind goes through. What things are coming against you? You see what I mean? So God's saying, I'm proving you right now, just like I did them, only you have something different. You have grace and truth. You have the person of Christ in you, helping you, guiding you. You see the difference? I have been with you, now I shall be in you. Guess what? You have power unimaginable. But it's a matter of whether you believe it or not, whether you trust it or not, whether you're going to be what? Obedient or not. You see how this works? If your faith is going to be increased, this is what God is saying. So are you being proven right now? Yes. There's a scripture that says, prove all things. Doesn't it say that? I think it's in Thessalonians. Prove all things. All parables. Your parable. Prove it all. Prove it all. Prove what your parable really is. You know what it is? It's what God said it was from the beginning in prophecy. You are my children. I am your Father. I am your God, and you are my sons. That's what's being proven right now. That's what's being proven right now. So can we be proven? Can we? It's going to take some heat. It's going to take some fire. But we're going to be proven. It may burn a little bit. Ouch. I was into that. Yeah, but God said you don't need that. You see what I mean? And we learn thereby. So all those works you did, wood, hay, and stubble, come on, let them get burned up. All the thoughts you had that were not like God, that were of the flesh, and by the way, flesh is wood, isn't it? Yeah, let it all get burned up. Don't let the flesh have any of it. Let it all get burned up. Let God prove you. That's how he proved the gold and the silver. Doesn't he put the fire under it and all the slag raises to the top and you pull it off? and then it becomes pure. But it took some fire and some boiling, didn't it? Took some melting, didn't it? That's what God is telling us. Don't be afraid of it, guys. Don't jump into fear. Don't jump into offense. When you hear the word of God coming forth and it doesn't go along with what you think, it's time for you to yield to the word of God. It's as simple as that. No offense in it. Move forward. You're being guided. Walk in the light as he is in the... These words that we speak come from heaven. I have more confidence in that now than I ever have in my whole life. I know what I'm speaking is from God. I know that. I positively know it. But everyone that doesn't quite go along with it and doesn't seem like it's so, that's to your own hurt. That's how I look at it. You're delaying yourself. These are the things God wants us to know now. We keep saying, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. How about living in the moment right now? How about realizing that's you now, that God's doing this now? You think God's waiting? Oh, I can't do it now. I'm going to wait 2 years from now. Or do you think he can do it right now? Can he do it right now? Then live in the moment of God. Live in the moment of the Spirit and be proven by God. Let God prove you right now. When you get up today and you start to walk out of here and a thought comes to you, let him prove you right now. Right now. Be in the moment of it. The Spirit is instant. Remember it said instant, in season and out of season, right? He said he will come to his temple suddenly. Didn't it say that? Yeah, he'll bring that thought of himself to you right then. So what makes you think he can't do it right now? Live in the moment of it right now. This is you. This is what God made you to be. This is the real you. We think this is the real us because we live in it every day, work in it, take pleasure in it, feed it, all that stuff. We think this is it. That's not it, guys. God wants to move in you now, in the real moment, in your spirit right now. That's the real you. We think this is all real because we walk in it physically every day. What if I told you that other realm is more real than this? Way more real. And that God has shown it to us. It's way more real. You know how we know that? It goes beyond your imagination. What you thought it might have been a certain way, God shows it to you. And guess what? It says, nothing like I thought it was going to be. That's right. Because you formulated that with your flesh. Guess what? God's going to show you what it really is in spirit. It blows you away. Don't we say that? It blows you away because it's not what you expected. And every single time it's greater than what you expected. Greater, much greater. And it blows you away. You know why? Because it's not an expectation of the flesh. This is of the Spirit. And God's going to show you how it really is. So live in the moment of God. Live in that moment right now. Live in the moment of power and of grace. Live in the moment of the works of God. Live in the moment. Let God do it for you right now, because he can. So we're being proven, guys. We're being proven over and over again. This is our journey out of Egypt, and we're being proven in the wilderness. So it would be good for us to accept what God says, huh? Accept his leading and his guidance so that he can prove us. He'll bring us to the enemy. Well, they had to do some fighting, didn't they? He'll bring you to the enemy and you will fight, but you will be fighting with the helmet of salvation. Chest, breastplate of righteousness, isn't it? Loins girt about with truth. Sword of the Spirit. That's what you're going to be fighting with. Did he equip you already to prove you? Yes. That's what you'll be fighting with. And all of that represents what? God, doesn't it? Doesn't represent you. Oh, the armor's on you. But it doesn't represent you. It represents God, the God in you. That's what's doing the fighting. You get it? So allow him to do it. Allow him to prove you. He'll show you what to do. He'll show you how to use that sword. He'll show you how to do it. It'll be great. Anybody have any questions for me about anything I said today about being proven? You have a thought, question, anybody? This is an important thing for us today to understand that we're being proven now. the experience Israel had, they failed. Let us not fail. We're being proven now. Same thing. We got to be believers, huh? More than that, we got to be followers. Got to be disciples. We got to be guided. That's sin. Right. Even talking about David, what about Adam? Do we want to become the second man, Adam? Yeah. Adam's learning, isn't he? He's learning all those things. Isn't that us? Aren't we Adam? But we're not Adam in sin. What are we now? Are we Adam in the second man, Adam? We're learning. We're being brought to the place of what? Resurrection. When Adam wakes up and the resurrection happens in us, that's us becoming Christ. Right? Being able to judge all things. So yeah, David, Adam, all of that, man. This is what God's showing us. We don't have to remain in the old Adam. Let's recreate him and do the right thing from the beginning. Isn't that true? Don't have to sin in the garden. Let's recreate him and do the right thing. We can eat of all those other trees, be guided, and not have to fall into sin. That's our opportunity, isn't it? People say, you can't do that over again. Yes, you can. Every one of us can do it over again in us. So God's given us an opportunity to do that. Be the right type of Adam, right? That's good. Somebody else have a comment, thought? Yeah, God loves us, guys. He wants to give us power. Actually, he's already given it to us. It's a matter of us utilizing what he's given us. Isn't that cool? I'm done.